Good morning. This morning we want to learn from the Word of God, from the Bible. Please, if you have a Bible, please open your Bible. Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 27. Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 29. If you don't have a Bible, please take a look at the screen. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for this holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and the strength and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many of the 1 7. In the middle of 7, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed, that is poured out on him. Until last week, we've been studying the chapter 9 of Daniel 4 times, but in that we learned that Daniel learned God's word from the book of Jerusalem, the book of Jeremiah. He realized that the Jerusalem was destroyed not because the Jewish people did not have financial power or military power, and not because they didn't have flexibility to adjust to the new surroundings. It's not like they were had only old people lacking young people. The reason the Jerusalem was destroyed was the because they forgot about their identity as Jewish people. Their failure may look like it is based on their external forces, but it was actually based on their internal, fundamental, spiritual. The Jewish people did not quite understand the reasons, and they probably thought they lacked national power to resist the destruction of Jerusalem. But they spent 70 years in Babylonian captivity, and they realized they didn't have a spiritual foundation. That is, they did not live like God's chosen people. Instead of acting like God's chosen people, they were acting more like secular people. And that's what they realized. they were the chosen people, and they were supposed to live in a community of faith, but they neglected this duty, neglected this value. And they neglected God's word and orders to prosper the community of faith. And that is why they experienced failure, which resulted in Babylonian captivity. That's what they realized. But this failure was not done for the purpose of failure, but at the same time, this failure was a way for God to let people realize that God has prepared a recovery for them. Eventually, the Jewish people will be able to go back to Jerusalem, and they will be to redevelop Jerusalem. And this man, Daniel, he did not attribute the failure of the Jewish people just to those people, but to himself as well. And in his prayer, God sent Angel Gabriel and answered his prayer. You know how swiftly God responded to his prayer. Let's look at verse 20 again. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord, my God, for his holy heal, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. You know, we pray every day too, right? We pray for our health. We pray for praise so that we can pass entrance examinations. We pray for our future careers to open up. We pray that, you know, this new coronavirus be eradicated. So we all often pray prayers like that, right? Because we have these problems, and we want these problems to be solved. So we pray so that we want to have our daily problems solved. And of course, in the Bible, we do see some similar prayers as well, and that sometimes those prayers are answered. You know, sometimes the people in the Bible pray that the fear be taken away, and God's response to those people in the Bible as well. And if you look at those, but usually those prayers are not answered instantly or while you're praying, right? Even before your prayer is finished, that God doesn't answer that quickly. That's what we see in the Bible in most cases. And because there is a time lag between the prayer and the prayer being answered. But in today's section, as you can see, Daniel's prayer was answered instantly. There was no time lag. Let's look at again, verse 20, 21. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. And if you look at verse 23, Gabriel said, as soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you. So as soon as Daniel started praying, Gabriel was sent by God to respond to Daniel's prayer. So even before the prayer was finished, this response came. Have you experienced anything like this? Even before your prayer is finished, God answers your prayers? What kind of prayer was Daniel praying? Let's look at verse 20 again. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy heal. While I was still in prayer. So, he was praying for his sin and a sin of his people Israel. When we have our problems, you know, when we have failures, when we have pain, and we often feel, why now? Why this happened? Why me? Why here? Why does God do this to me? Those are the feelings we usually get. And oftentimes we try to find the causes of those problems outside of us. We try to attribute those problems to other people. And basically try to justify yourself, you know, assuming that you are right, and then try to blame it on everybody else. So we try to find the causes of these problems outside of us, right? So we try to find the causes outside of us. And that's where we see our tendency to engage in aggression. We sometimes become aggressive toward people who are weak, physically weak, or socially weak, or economically weak. And sometimes we don't actually engage in dynamic aggression, but we often engage in passive aggression. And we realize that we do not realize that as aggression. We may have those in our family relationships, in our work situations, between nations and between people. We see that kind of aggression, and those aggressions are often justified in some way. And by justifying it, by using, blaming it on others, we often forget that the causes exist within us. And of course, to admit that we are actually the sources of those aggression means that we are losers, in a sense. And we don't want to admit that, because we want to justify ourselves by finding causes of problems outside of us. But by doing that, we also deny the existence of God. You know, Jewish people experienced many failures. And Jewish people engaged in many sins. They engaged in sexual sins. They exchanged in economic activities at the place of worship. So Jewish people engaged in many sins before Jerusalem was destroyed. But people justify those actions, not realizing they are engaging sins, and they came up with various kind of excuses that sounded rational to justify what they were doing. And we do that same, right? We often justify what is comforting to us, what is fun to us, what is profitable to us. And then we justify those actions by coming up with various kinds of excuses. And that's what we do. And that's what Jewish people did as well. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 24. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are saved by believing in the redemption that came from Jesus Christ. Right? We are made righteous by believing in the redemption of Jesus Christ. So this is totally different from justifying ourselves. The fact that we become justified by believing in the redemption that exists in Jesus Christ means that we are sinners. We need to die because of our sins. So we cannot claim justifications by ourselves. We are only justified by the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So Jewish people experienced failure and Jerusalem was destroyed because they kept on claiming that they can justify themselves by themselves, and they did not find the sources of their problems in themselves, but tried to find sources of their problems outside of them. So they were too busy trying to justify themselves. So, but in that kind of situation, Daniel was confessing his sins, and not only that, he was confessing the sins of Jewish people as if that was his sin. And that's what he did in his prayer. He was praying for the people of the Jewish people. In our daily lives, we experience many failures, don't we? And we accumulate those failures. That's our daily lives. But when we experience those failures, we try to find the causes of the failures outside of us. instead of finding causes in ourselves, we say, well, maybe I should have done differently. This happened because it was because of him or her. The reason I'm not happy, because I chose this path instead of that path. I feel empty because I don't have this, or I don't have that. Maybe I should have read this person, I should have met this person. So we always try to find external causes outside of us for the causes of our failures. So we look for superficial causes of our failures. And we do that because we don't want to acknowledge our own problems, and it's painful to acknowledge that. But but Daniel looked face to face at his own sins and the sin of Jewish people. And that's why he was confessing his sins in his prayer. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men. So Daniel knew that it would be a defeat. Try to justify yourselves by blaming other people for your causes, for your problems. So Daniel knew that you're lying to yourselves if you try just to justify yourselves. So as the 1 Corinthians said, I think Daniel believed, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead of justifying self, but confess your sins and repent. Daniel, in this empire, under the reign of this empire, and many people believed that this empire would last forever. So he lived in this captivity. And this empire was a symbol of human prosperity, but he knew that was valueless. But he knew the importance of inheriting the kingdom of God, not a human empire. That's why the Daniel prayer, the type of prayer he prayed in today's passage. If you look at chapter 7 of Daniel, we learned Daniel said he wants to be defeated. I mean, the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he knew he'd rather be cheated and be wronged rather than to commit sins. And that's why God answered his prayer very quickly. And that was very unusual. And if you look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 23, Gabriel said, "You are highly esteemed," referring to Daniel. God had a special love for Daniel. Daniel repented and prayed. When Jesus came to this earth, and one of the first things Jesus said was, "Repent, the kingdom of God is near. Repent. The kingdom of God is near." That's how he started his evangelism. So the purpose of his evangelism, to help people to repent. Repentance. Repentance means you change directions in your life. So, changing direction from where to where. So, instead of trying to justify yourselves by finding the causes of your problems outside of yourself, to humbling yourself to God, and then honestly confess your sins, that's the change in direction. That's what repentance is about. And of course, that kind of repentance doesn't happen overnight. And of course, when we met Jesus, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we became Christians, we confessed that we were sinners. But that was the beginning of our confession and the beginning of our repentance, because we do not know how deeply sinful we are. The depth of our sins that exists in us, that is not something that you can understand very easily. You realize, you learn that you are sinners in front of Jesus, and then you begin to learn how sinful you are, how sinful we are, gradually. But that doesn't mean that we are not hopeless, because we are not declared sinners by believing in Jesus Christ, because our sins are forgiven. And when we repent, God forgives our sins and God's love is there. We as Christians need to realize how sinful we are, but at the same time, we need to realize how great God's love is, because it is God that who forgives our sins. And this is the process of sanctification. Sanctification means that we realize how sinful we are, the depth of our sins. But God's loves, God's forgiveness go beyond that. That's what we need to realize. So, I don't think Daniel prayed a prayer like in today's passage from the very beginning. You know, this is a Daniel in his 80s. To be able to pray a prayer like that, it took time. He took many experiences on his part. He realized how sinful he was. And he realized the depth of God's love as well. He experienced that in his life. And he read the God's word. And then he came to a point where he offered a prayer that resulted in quick action on the part of God. Prayer is similar to human communication. But, you know, just like nobody is fluent in anything, right? We all learn our language from our parents, and then we eventually are able to write long sentences. But to be able to offer prayer like Daniel did, it does take a lot of time in our lives. You know, we live a long life as Christians and as a people of faith. So, of course, that doesn't mean only old people can pray like that. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is Daniel, never forgot his identity as God's child. He wanted to have a spiritual goal he wanted to achieve as God's child. And he wanted to achieve that. It doesn't matter whether you're poor financially. As long as you are, do not forget you are God's child. Instead, even if you're rich, you do not realize you are God's child. That's very unfortunate and very sad. Daniel loved God. He risked his life by trying to follow God's word. He kept praying 3 times a day. And he experienced many things as God's child. He experienced failures. He experienced pain. There are some problems that probably he did not solve. Of course he had those. But he came to a point where God answers his prayer very quickly. And God's through an angel said, he is esteemed, highly esteemed. And that was the prayer that he prayed in today's passage, and it was a prayer of repentance. As I prepared for this sermon, I prayed. And I felt that this today's message applied to myself. We often, and I do often, blame other people for my sins. I do that. Instead of repenting, I was blaming other people, sometimes people in this church, for my problems. But Daniel confessed his sins honestly. He asked for forgiveness. And he wanted to help other people repent as well. He embraced other people. So instead of finding causes of his problems outside, he asked for, you know, he made a repentance based on love. And God answered that prayer. God loved Daniel. Our repentance, prayer of repentance, must be based on love. And it's not something that we just pray once and it's finished. We need to keep on praying a prayer of repentance. And if you keep on praying a prayer of repentance, we will experience God's love. When we keep on praying of repentance, God will respond with love. I said at the beginning of this today's sermon that the Jerusalem was destroyed because they forgot about their identity as God's chosen people. And that's why the Jerusalem was destroyed. And they had to live in captivity. And what does that mean? Forgetting their identity as God's chosen people. That means, you know, repent, the kingdom of God is near. If you forget this, if we forget the prayer of repentance, and if you forget that prayer, that means you forget forgetting your identity as God's chosen people. Not just Daniel, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, David, Peter and Paul, they did not forget their identity as God's children, and they repented. And when you do that, God will say to you, you are highly esteemed, and God loves you. God loves you. God will respond to your prayer. It's not like your sickness is healed or you got food. It's not that kind of problem solving, but God answers you, your prayer. Even if you continue to be sick, even if you don't have money, and God will say to you, God, I love you. You are highly esteemed. There is nothing better than that kind of God's word. We become worried. We feel uncertain when we realize nobody loves us. We become insecure, not because we are sick or we're not getting food or we don't have money, but because we realize nobody loves us. But when you realize God's love for you, to experience that, we need to keep prayers of repentance. Let us pray.